Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
With the gifting that Samson had, he could have delivered many. Some of you guys are like, Samson, listen, you stumble along, but get in the race. Go across the finish line. Make it to the end. And some of you guys just need to catch a stride. You need to get back up and get into it so that you can say, I have finished my race. Someday, you'll say that. Someday you can say like Paul, I fought a good fight.
When Jesus died on the cross, he made a way, access for all to God the Father. Where sin and the strict requirements of the law had been the great barrier before, now forgiveness and grace opened the gates for us to have a loving, intimate relationship with the one who created us. With a continuation of surprising events at the cross, out of Matthew chapter 27, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
I met the Lord at 14. At 18, I walked away from the Lord for a year. So 4 years after I was a Christian, I walked away for a year. And I got to tell you, that year was the most miserable year that I ever lived until Jesus brought me back. The third statement that I want us to look at is the statement by Jesus in verse 30 of John 19, where he says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. Bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. The very reason that Jesus was born was to die upon the cross. We could say that he was born for a lot of reasons. You could say he was born to show us the Father. The Bible says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has shown him to us. We could say that he came to teach us. We could say that he came to give us an example. The Bible says, be imitators of Christ. You could say that he came to give us a new covenant. And all those things would be true, but he was born for one specific reason. And all of those others fell in line as he was moving towards that one reason. He was born to die. Let me read you a passage. You remember that on the night that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that Mary had wrapped him up in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Manger is a feeding trough of all the places to lay the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a feeding trough because Jesus was humbling himself to come to men who were humble, to men who need him. There were angels that were out in the field that night, and suddenly an angel appeared to them, and they were scared. We know that because the first thing that the angel says is, don't freak out, don't be afraid. So the angel appears, and the Bible says, the glory of the Lord shone all around them. Then the angel said this to them, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. The very reason that he was born was to be a Savior. He didn't do the act of being a Savior on the streets of Jerusalem. He didn't do the act of being a Savior when he was a child in Egypt. He didn't do the act of being a Savior as he walked on the shores of Galilee and taught the people who were there. The act of being a Savior was done upon the cross. To you, today is born a Savior in the city of David. It goes on to say, he is Messiah. He is the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. The great work that Jesus did upon the cross was brought to a conclusion. It must have been a relief for him to say, it is finished. He knew that his call, his race, included a crucifixion. He wasn't the only one. Andrew, the disciple, was crucified. Peter was crucified. There would be others who would be crucified as part of their race. Paul himself was beheaded. He was a Roman citizen, and so it was illegal to crucify a Roman citizen. But right before Paul was beheaded, he said, I fought a good fight. I've run a good race. He was able to say like Jesus, I have finished the race that God has given me to run. It must have been a relief for him to say it because of the weight of the guilt and sin that had been placed on him. That he could finally go, It's finished. Jesus carried the heaviest weight that anyone ever carried. The weight of the world was upon him, and he said, "It is finished." And in those words, suddenly opened up the ability for you and I to have our sins forgiven. Suddenly opened up for my guilt to be removed. It has now been said of me, not guilty. And it has been said of you, not guilty, at that work being finished. It was a great work. But you know what? You have a work as well. The Bible says God gives each one of us a race to run. Your race is not my race, and my race is not your race, and I can't run your race for you. You can't run your race for me. I got to run my race for myself. You have a purpose for your life. God has a reason that you are here. You are not just here randomly. You might think that you are no one. You might think that you are no one of significance. I think of Esther. Esther was a Jewish girl who found herself in a foreign land. You remember that Vashti, the queen, that the king had summoned her to a drunken party. And Vashti said, "No way." So the king removed her from being queen and had a beauty contest, and Esther won it. So Esther's the queen. This is a heavily male-dominated society. This is a society that if you approach the king without an invitation, you get killed. And so Mordecai showed up and said, "Listen, the Jews are in danger. Haman wants to kill him, and you've got to go talk to the king." And Esther said, "Are you nuts?" Now, that's a Robert Furrow paraphrase, all right? She said it a little different. But finally, you remember the words of Mordecai, her uncle? He said, "Listen, if you don't do this, salvation will come from another way. But who knows if it was not for a time such as this that you were born?" Listen, there's a moment in your life where you will fulfill the very purpose that you were born. Now, for some of you, it's not like Esther. It's not like a moment like this. For some of you, it's a race. It's a call. It's a gifting. It's what God has for you. But you got to run the race. And it's not a foregone conclusion that you'll finish it. Paul wrote in Hebrews, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, by the way. Some believe it was someone else or some unknown person. But I believe it was Paul. And Paul wrote in Hebrews, "You have need of endurance." For some of them, it stopped running. Some of them had followed Christ for a while, but then they turned around and they'd gone back. And I got to think that some of you guys have stopped running. Maybe you've stumbled and fallen in the infield grass. You're looking up and the pack is running away. And you think, I'll never catch them. It's too late for me. Get back on your feet and get back in the race. I love what Warren Wiersbe said. He said, "We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory." In other words, as long as we fight, we're going to win. Doesn't matter how pathetic you fight, you will win. Samson constantly stumbled. He never really got to his feet. Talk about a pathetic race. And yet Samson is declared in the hall of faith. And you say to the writer of the Hebrews, who I believe to be Paul, "Did you read the story of Samson in Judges? How could you include him in there? The guy never really got into his stride. He could have done many great things." The Bible says of Samson, he began to deliver the children of Israel. Many have said that's a sad statement. Because with the gifting that Samson had, he could have delivered many. Some of you guys are like, "Samson, listen, you stumble along, but get in the race. Go across the finish line. Make it to the end." And some of you guys just need to catch a stride. You need to get back up and get into it so that you can say, "I have finished my race." Someday, you'll say that. Someday you can say like Paul, "I fought a good fight. I've run a good race. I've finished the race God's given me." Now, one more statement that Jesus makes from the cross, and we find that in Luke 23. So turn there with me. Luke 23, verse 46, where it says, "And when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.'" This is a statement of commitment. It's interesting that there are two statements Jesus made from the cross that he quoted scripture. We covered both of them today. The first one is Psalms 22:1, my God, why have you forsaken me? The second is Psalms 31:5, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, the fact that Jesus, on two of the seven statements that he made from the cross, would quote scripture gives an authenticity to the scripture, gives an importance to the word of God. It's as if God is saying to us, he has fulfilled these things and they were written of him. Remember that Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees, you guys search the scriptures because you think in them you find eternal life, but these are they that speak of me. The Bible says that God's word is inspired and profitable for reproof, for correction, for doctrine, that the man of God could be thoroughly equipped, lacking in nothing. It is our foundation. It is the milk. It is our meat by which we grow. It is the lamp unto our feet. It is the light unto our way. It is the means by which we become a tree planted by the rivers of water. God told Joshua, only be very careful to do all that is written in the law, and then you will have success, and then you will prosper. Sadly, though, we're living in a time when churches are abandoning the Word of God. They'll hold up their Bible at the beginning of services, and then they put it down and never open it up again and talk about men's philosophies. They openly say, you really believe the Bible? You really believe that Jonah was swallowed by a fish? Yeah. You really believe in Adam and Eve? Yeah. And I believe verse 1 of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you're not going to believe anything, that's the most difficult. When you understand the complexity of our universe, yeah, I believe that. We live in a time when churches are turning away from the Word of God and replacing it with the philosophy of men and the politics of this world. And I think it's pathetic. How would you like to go to church at a place where it's all about politics, where it's about getting behind politicians? I don't know about you, but that'd be miserable to me. The Word of God stays central because it is the means by which we find Jesus. Now, the second thing that I notice about this statement is that when he quotes Psalms 31:5, Psalms 31:5 is not a commitment in death. It's a commitment in life. Jesus makes it as a commitment in death, but he quotes a commitment in life. In other words, you and I are to make a commitment while we're alive. The psalmist said, unto you I commit my spirit, and we are to make that kind of a commitment. What's the depth of the commitment that you're to make to Christ? To give him everything. Jesus said, you want to be my disciple? Then you're going to have to lay down your life, die for me, pick up your cross and follow me. That's the depth of commitment. And if it's been a while since you've said, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit, Lord, I give you everything. I'll live for you. I'll die for you. I'm not talking about Jesus as your self-help guru. I'm not talking about those of you that, well, you know, I think if I get Jesus in my life will be better. That's not the commitment level God wants. That's God as my co-pilot theology. I'm flying the plane of my life, and if it starts to crash, I want God to help. God, help me. Okay, I'll take it over again. Just hang out till I need you again. The Bible never teaches that. The Bible teaches that we give God our plane of our life. God says, get out of the cockpit and get out of first class for most of us. Back to coach. That's where you're going to fly for the rest of your life. But we're letting him fly it. We commit ourselves to him. And maybe there's some of you today who need to say to him again, new, Lord, I'll live for you. Lord, I'll die for you. Which brings us to our last statement, which is Jesus here shows us how to die. Into your hands I commit my spirit. He shows us the length of the race is until death. Now, the Bible tells us that there's going to be a group of people who won't die. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that he tells us a mystery. Not all people are going to die, but some are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We might be among that group. There's some things happening in the Middle East today that are fulfilling scripture. The Bible talks about the destruction of Damascus. We're seeing uprising in Syria today, which Damascus is the capital. Interesting, interesting times that we're living in. But if the Lord tarries, and if it's not during our lifetime that these things come to pass, each one of us here will die. The statistics on death are staggering. One out of every one person dies. 100% of people die. And the thing about life is, it's here one moment, it's gone the next. The Bible says in the book of James that life is like a vapor. It just seems to go. And we dedicated my little girl, Jessica, who's 28. When we dedicated her, I brought her to church to Skip Heitzig, who's my pastor at Calvary Chapel of Albuquerque. And I put the dress on backwards. We got in a hurry that morning, and I put the dress on. And when we're going to church, my wife says, her dress is on backwards. And we're late. We got to get there. So we didn't have time to change it. So my wife, in a moment of I don't know what, walks up to Skip. And Skip is a harasser, okay? If you don't know Skip, Skip's a harasser. She walks up to Skip and says, Robert put her dress on backwards. And so Skip goes, let me show you the front of the dress. Turned it around, everybody. And let me show you the back of the dress. And turned it around for everybody. And I'll tell you, we dedicated Jessica that day. And then 24 years later, I was dedicating my granddaughter. And I looked into her eyes, and she looks just like my daughter. Emma looks just like Jessie. And I looked into her eyes, and a thought that entered into my mind was, where'd the last 24 years go? Any of you guys feel that way? Some of you guys aren't 24 and you go, I don't know what he's talking about. This is an old man reminiscing right here. I don't know. Trust me, you're going to blink. Things are done. We want to be able to say, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. We want to die as Jesus has it for us. And I think it's interesting that Stephen died in a very similar way. You remember that Stephen was the first martyr of the church, and early on in Acts, he gets the leaders really angry, and they drag him outside. They throw rocks at him. They stone him to death. And as the stones are crashing into his skull, he looks up and he says, I see the heavens open, and I see the Son of Man standing by the Father. And then he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. The same thing that Jesus said. I was sharing that last night with my wife, or she was at the service, and we were talking about it later. She said, I wonder if Stephen was there at the crucifixion of Jesus. I don't know. But then Stephen said, don't hold this to their account. Very much like Jesus. Remember Jesus prayed, we saw last week, from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Stephen says, don't hold this to their account. I tell you what, somebody throws a rock at me and cracks me in the head, and I go, God, get them. Make them pay for that. Hopefully, I would have the grace to respond as Stephen did. The truth is, we've been showed how to embrace death, how to embrace life. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. And how to embrace death. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. Four thoughts in closing, and we'll be done, and I'll do these quickly. Number one, Jesus cried out to God in his desperation. He could have complained from the cross. He could have looked down at John or Mary and said, why am I alone? But he didn't. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? In your desperation, when you find yourself wondering what's going on, why is this happening? Call out to God, even as Jesus did. Number two, Jesus acknowledged his need from the cross. I thirst. It's a good thing for you and I to acknowledge our need before the living God. Number three, run the race to the end. And if you got to get up off the infield grass today and get back in the race, then get back in the race today. Listen, all that matters is that you finish. That's what matters. Now, I'd love to see you run a swift race. God would love to see you run a swift race. I'd love to see you influence the lives of people around you. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. But first of all, let's just get you across the finish line. If you have to drag yourself across the finish line, drag yourself across the finish line. Eternity is at stake. Finally, commit yourself to the Lord. Maybe new, maybe fresh, maybe for the first time. But today say, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. I lay everything before you, and I'll lay down my life. I'll die for you. I'll live for you. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said. It is no longer I that live, but it is Christ that lives in me. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you as we've spent time today declaring our love for you in worship and seeking you in your word. And as we've approached the cross one more time, again, we're compelled. We're moved by the incredible gift that is given. Lord, I pray for those here who have never made commitments to you. I pray you would give them the boldness to make that commitment today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed. I'd like to also ask that no one would leave early. We're almost done. We'll dismiss you here momentarily. But I want to give you an opportunity if you're here today. You've never given your life to Christ. You've never come to that place where you've said, you know what, I'm done living for myself and I'm ready to live for Him. You know why you were created? The Bible says you were created to bring pleasure to God. You were created for Him. And you will never be satisfied and you will never be fulfilled until you drink of the water that He gives spiritually. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that if you receive Him, He'll give you the power to become a child of God. To all who believe in His name, you've got to believe that He died upon the cross. You've got to believe that He rose from the dead and He is alive here today and He's touching your heart. But listen, three things. Number one, all your guilt and sin will be removed. That is no small thing. That is the work that He went to the cross for, because it's your sin that separates you from God. And with your sin removed, now you can have a relationship with the Creator of the universe, a relationship with God Almighty. And third, God has a plan for your life. I don't know what that plan is, but I know God's got a plan for you. There's a purpose for you. There's a reason that you're alive now in these days. Run the race and find out what that plan is. Now, if you're here, you've never committed your life to Christ, but you're ready to now, I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just lift your hand up. Lift your hand up now. Lift it up high so I can see it. I want to make my way around the room and acknowledge your hands. God bless you. Saw your hand. And God bless you all the way over to the left. That's great. Anyone else? Raise your hand up now. All the way in the back, just off to my right. God bless you, sir. That's great. Back over here on the aisleway. God bless you. That's awesome. Anyone else? Just lift your hand up now. Again, lift it up high so I can see it. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Why harden your heart against the Savior? He's the one who created you. He's the very one that has a purpose for your life. So I'm going to scan the room one more time. Just raise your hand now. Lift your hand up high. God bless you. It's awesome. Anyone else? All right. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus upon the cross. So I invite you into my life and I turn from my sin that I can live for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.